I'm Evan Dawson, WXXI, here in Rochester on this Tuesday afternoon. And the conversation we're going to have on Connections is about relationships. We talked about the governor's relationship with the president. They've never been that close. I don't think that's going to change. But we're going to talk about the way we interact with loved ones. This hour, we're going to talk about what the pandemic is doing to our relationships in our marriages, our cohabitation, even our dating lives. And I take heart in reading Charlie Wurzel in the New York Times, one of my favorite writers, who wrote the following today, quote, "I love hearing stories of people who've been able to see what their partners do up close and take pride in seeing them in action. This time has been so hard, but there are also little graces everywhere," end quote. But then, not all relationships are blossoming quite this way. The pandemic and the resulting quarantine has added stress to relationships, new and old. And the pandemic has made it awfully hard for single people to date, at least to date in the way they're used to. So let's talk about how to handle these stresses, and I'll introduce our guests. Now, Dennis O'Brien is Rochester's most eligible bachelor, and he's on the line with us. Is that fair, Dennis? Is that the actual title?
That is probably would be disputed by many people.
No way, man.
Yes.
No way, man. Most eligible. Hey, you're also one of the smarter guys I know, and I'm glad you joined us. Thanks for being with us.
I appreciate that. Glad to be here.
Nicole Ron is a Rochester native who is on the line with us now, and it's nice to have you back on the program. Nicole, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Evan.
Sure. Well, we have a lot to talk about with Dennis and Nicole on the single side and on the married side. Let me welcome Sejal and Raj. Sejal Shah is a local writer and teacher. And Sejal, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Evan. Nice to be here.
And Sejal's
virtually.
Husband. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Raj Singaravelu is with us as well. That's Sejal's husband of 5 years, Raj. Is that correct?
That is correct, and well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, welcome to both of you. So let me just start on the married side of things. Sejal, you reached out to me this week just to say, there's a big change in routine. So why don't you kind of take us through what the routine looks like and sort of feels like and what you're dealing with now, and I'll let you and Raj kind of navigate that. Go ahead, Sejal.
Well, I think when I think about routine, I think about the many years I lived alone in New York. And I was thinking about, I was a professor there and we shared offices, and that was challenging. So it was important to have some space to yourself. And when we got married, we met when we were teaching at the Harley School. And then I left and was writing and was teaching in the evenings. So I was really used to having that time during the day to myself, and it's been, I've loved actually getting to hear Raj teaching. Our students often would say that we were very different as teachers, and of course I was in my classroom and he was in his, so I didn't get to see him, so I've enjoyed that. But it's, working on a book for the last year and a half has been it's very quiet internal work, and I would also say that Raj is more introverted than I am, and I think after being married for this many years, I've become more introverted from being married to him. So it was definitely an adjustment all of a sudden to have someone in my workspace.
But let me also ask you, Sejal, though, do you find yourself sort of echoing what Charlie Wurzel said in the New York Times, in that do you have maybe even a heightened appreciation for the work that he does and obviously does well because you're seeing it a little bit more up close?
Oh, absolutely. Even just, I think the challenges that I hear from lots of teachers and actually hearing Raj in the other room do this of keeping especially kids engaged. A lot of my teacher friends are professors, but keeping fifth and sixth graders engaged through a computer screen, right, and making sure that everyone is there. And teachers, I think, are such important constant presences in our kids' lives that to get to hear that. I'd also I just remembered the challenges of staying organized and kind of keeping on top of everyone and helping them, and when you can't do that in person. So I definitely have a greater appreciation for what his day looks like, even though it's different, of course.
Sure.
Truncated teaching.
Yeah, Raj, first of all, big salute to all teachers who are doing their best. I've got a second grader who's you know, his teacher is just phenomenal. But, I mean, it's an adjustment for everybody. It's an adjustment for parents. And we're so grateful for what you're doing. How have you found this quarantine, Raj, to be for the marriage? How's it going, Raj?
Well, I think, to be quite honest, I think once, we had the stay-at-home directive and went into virtual teaching, it was a little bit of a challenge. Actually, it was a lot of a challenge. There was a lot of challenges because I tried to do most of my schoolwork at school and try not to bring work home. But obviously with this, I'm working from home, and I never really had a home office. So I've taken over the dining table, and Sejal is upstairs. So it's become quite a balancing act of when she's on a Zoom call and I have my Google Meet classroom going on, trying to navigate that, trying to navigate volume. Also, it plays into many other things of like, are we going to have lunch together? If not, are you going to make me lunch, or are you just going to make lunch for yourself? But it's one of those things where the first couple of weeks, they were quite challenging because Sage was used to me being out of the house so that she could focus on her writing her book and whatnot, and I could do my teaching outside of school. And then when I came home, it was like a separate world, you know? But now my teaching world, my personal world, it's all within the confines of like these two floors. And granted, we're lucky to have, you know, two stories where she can take the top floor, you know, the second story, and use that as her workspace. And I've taken over the downstairs, but if there's a lot of things that come into play with invading someone's space when the primary person, Sejal, was working from home and I was away from the house working at school.
Do you feel like you are in, you know, maybe a bit better rhythm as we're into sort of the second month of this? Or have you learned some lessons on how to do this?
Oh, totally. I think we've hit our groove now. And in fact, I think there was one issue that came up when we were trying to sort of compete for, like, quiet hours. And so Sejal actually implemented from 1 o'clock to 4:30, it's going to be quiet hours. So I can't do any of my pre-recorded lessons during that time because I tend to talk a little bit louder and I didn't want to disturb her. So that has helped us transition into this point of where, okay, we've each found our rhythm. And the other thing that sort of has helped us is I'm trying to convert some of our guest bedroom into more of an office for me, so that the dining room table does not look like a workspace. And so that sense of being surrounded by work all the time sort of goes away. You know what I mean? So we can have a sense of normalcy. Of, okay, this is the dining table. Let's eat at the dining table. Let's not conduct like planning and like my lessons and my other school related stuff on this workspace.
I love that. By the way, the quiet hours are 1 to 4:30?
Yes.
Not like 1 to 4:38 or, you know, it's very specific. It's very specific. Sejal, how did you come up with 1 to 4:30?
Oh, well, you know, I love to be able to sometimes during the workday, cause I can take a nap, which is just totally gone. I think just having someone else in the house. I know parents are probably laughing like, oh, that must be nice. But, I think it was having to renegotiate things even as roommates, or if I wanted to do take a yoga class and work out that it was just conversations we hadn't had before because we didn't have to have them. Right. I knew he was out of the house for those hours. And I realized I could just sort of wander through the house and work in different places. And now I'm really in my office.
I don't know.
Which is fine. I had a tiny apartment in New York, you know, but it's a different life here.
No, I'm like, you guys have really kind of come up with quite the routine. I'm impressed with the compromises and the work that you've done together. And Raj, you know, as a single guy myself, maybe I should be engaging in more quiet hours myself. That would probably help my prospects. I love this idea. I also love the idea of naps. Sejal and Raj are kind enough to share what they're doing to sort of sort through being in each other's space all the time now and appreciating work hours, trying to create that space. Listeners, if you want to share your experience, we'll take it. 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. You can email the program connections at wxxi.org. And you can share a single experience as well. Dennis O'Brien, why don't you kind of take me through briefly what dating was, you know, sort of like pre-pandemic, and then, you know, if you're, you know, sort of what's going on now?
Sure. Well, normally it's a mix between meeting people in person through social events and using dating apps. So I've traditionally been more successful meeting people in person than on dating apps. I don't know why that is. Probably could be a whole show on its own on that. But so in terms of the dating apps, taking the lead from New York State, kind of doing a Dennis on pause. I'm sure Cuomo had a slide at some point that said, Dennis, no swiping, just because it seems a bit much at the moment. So obviously not meeting people in person, because I don't really see too many people anymore. So kind of all on pause. So it's, you know, I've been spending time chatting with friends and family. I have a lot of friends working in hospitals and RPD, retailers, you know, kind of keeping tabs on them. Not worried too much about the whole dating scene.
All right. Well, I'm curious to know, as we kind of go, Nicole sent me some really interesting thoughts on what life is sort of like for single people in quarantine. And I'm curious to know if Dennis will agree or disagree. Nicole, you are, you know, sort of a Western New York native, you know, lived in Rochester, but now recently moved, what, in November to Nashville? Is that right?
Yep. I'm in Nashville right now.
Everybody knows the best time to move is right before a pandemic.
Yeah, that's why I did it. I felt like it was going to happen, so it's actually really nice to be all settled in for it.
Oh, yeah. So, for you, why don't you kind of also kind of take me through a little bit of what pre-pandemic was like, and then I kind of want to work through your list, because I find it both funny but also really interesting. What was typically dating like pre-pandemic for you?
Well, I feel like I've just been casually dating for I feel like I've been single for like forever. So I'm just like, I'm like a professional casual dater. So it's like, I was also same as what Dennis was saying, just a mix of in-person social event meetings and a lot of online dating as well. So, as the pandemic happened, there were like a few situations I had like casual dating that were just put on pause, and I had to kind of assess what was going to happen with them. And there were like a mix of things that didn't seem to have longevity because that, you know, there was not enough communication to probably foresee anything substantial happening on like the long distance, quote unquote, communication front. You know, it's kind of almost like assessing what could work as a long distance relationship even. So the quarantine's kind of not cool. It's been, you know, an informative way almost to assess how serious people you're talking to might be. And I know Dennis was saying that he's not really focused on dating right now, but I don't know. I just love dating so much, so I want to find a way to do it still.
All right. So let's talk about that, because when you say that there's, in some strange way, there's kind of an advantage because, you know, if you don't have the question of physicality in an interaction, at least for a while, you're going to know who's actually invested in getting to know you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I've already noticed, you know, there are some people that it's really about the level that we were at, I guess, before quarantine, because people I had like a pretty strong in-person repertoire with, it's harder to scale back from something like that. So I've actually been putting more energy into people I've met more recently that we like barely know each other in a physical sense. So it's kind of cooler to get to know each other from just like kind of from scratch. And it's been like really pleasant. It's a nice feeling to be doing that for once after having like a lot of in-person contact.
Sure. And can you, Nicole, date in a way that allows you to see someone, you know, outdoors with physical distance? I mean, can you try that? Are you going to try that?
Yes, I have tried it. And like, I know that quarantine is very important. So I've tried to be super careful, and I even feel bad about doing outdoor activities that I have done, but I did go on, I've gone on a couple dates that are, you know, far apart at the park, no physical touch. Went to the lake with somebody on kind of a date, and it was really, really nice. It was just talking the whole time, you know, it was just getting to know each other and just soaking up the physical presence without anything else involved. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that. And as long as that's still a safe option, I'm still very interested in continuing that. But it's looking like it's just not a good, it's not that safe.
Sure. And you sent a note before the show mentioning that, you know, if a potential partner doesn't respect quarantine rules, or in other words, is pushing to get together physically, that might be a red flag for you anyway. Why?
Yes, because I just think that indicates just a general disrespect of boundaries, period, which is always really important when developing any sort of relationship. So as much as I'll be tempted by someone trying to convince me to, you know, come over or do whatever, I still in the back of my head am always like, this means this person doesn't really respect me that much and doesn't want to put an effort in communicating in other ways. You know, they're just like trying to take the easy way out, essentially. So it like just puts a red flag in my head on that person, which I think is good.
Sure. And so, Dennis, for you, do you think about, you know, the opportunity to maybe get to know somebody without having physicality even in the picture for a while? You know, would you do sort of the physical distance dating, or is that just not on your radar right now?
I would not do the physical distance dating because I'm too paranoid about the spread. However, I do like the idea of essentially becoming pen pals in that sense. Normally, it's kind of a negative connotation, but I like the idea of getting to know someone, knowing that there isn't necessarily a chance that you'll actually be able to meet up quickly, because then I think kind of like Nicole was getting at, you get a better sense for what people's motives are, because that's always one of the tricky things is communicating. What are you looking for? Are you looking for something just to have fun for this weekend? Are you looking for something more long-term, something in between? And that causes a lot of issues in relationships, obviously, because there can be that miscommunication. So I think having the ability to kind of having the actual date, in a sense, off the table, I think it really does help sort out who's serious, who's interested, and, you know, could lead to more meaningful relationships if and when we're set free again.
I'm seeing that this is so interesting. Nicole and Dennis have the exact opposite problems that Sejal and Raj have. I mean, Sejal and Raj can really only see each other all the time. Nicole and Dennis, if they want to have romantic partners, they cannot see them or much of them. So it's just, it's a very interesting dynamic. And before I turn back to Sejal and Raj, I want to focus on one other point that I thought was kind of humorous, but kind of maybe even like a legitimate question here. So Nicole has mentioned that there are single people who are already wondering if you can kind of start targeting other people who have had the virus and recovered, so because they would be safe to date. I'm not trying to make light of this. I mean, we've never lived through a pandemic. Who knows how to do this? Nicole, is that something that you think will think more about?
Yes, I already have thought about it a little bit. Because, yeah, a few weeks ago, I was talking to somebody on a dating app, super cute, and so they were telling me about these symptoms they were having. And in my head, I was like, this is definitely coronavirus. So, A, I hope this person's okay. And B, I looked at my calendar from, like, that message, which was on March 26th, and I was like, okay, April 9th, I might be able to go on a date with them.
you just plan for 2 weeks from now, I'm calling this guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think about that, yes.
Have you actually followed up with the person who probably did have the virus?
No. The spark kind of left. but I know there's an opportunity still, possibly.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah.
See, Dennis, your paranoia could be solved here. We just need antibodies testing, and then we'll have a whole group of a whole population of people who can date.
Perfect.
Who thought that this was going to be? I am curious to know, Nicole, if people on dating apps are advertising or pushing, either in private or even sort of their public profiles, that they would ignore quarantine or that they're willing to ignore quarantine.
I haven't seen too many that are outwardly pushing for breaking quarantine. Possibly, like, within conversation eventually, someone would try to arrange a date or something. But most of it, I think it's just more you have to start a conversation and then see what they say or see what they're interested in. But most of the time, I think people are actually interested in just kind of chatting within quarantine, which is good.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised there aren't, like, quarantine apps already or, like, you know, COVID recover apps, or somebody somewhere is innovating something on that.
COVID recovered apps.
You know. The problem is people would lie. People would definitely lie about it. It'd be like the 2020 version of you show up to a date and the person does not match their picture. You know?
Yeah.
That would be.
Yes, antibody catfishing.
So, Sejal and Raj, as we kind of, we hear from Nicole and Dennis as single people who have, you know, perspectives on dating and knowing that for a while it's going to be different and maybe not being able to see someone for a while, you guys really can only see each other. Sejal, how important is it to you that in this second month, it does sound like you're in a much better rhythm of respecting boundaries, because respecting boundaries for single people right now is very different than you guys having to figure out boundaries and kind of live with them. How important has that been for you?
I think it's really important. I mean, and you know, for me, some of this doesn't really have to do with Raj at all, but for, you know, we got married a little later, and I had a moment of like, oh, this is my nightmare to be in just, and Raj, it's not you, but just like to be in this, you know, just a nuclear family. We're both from Rochester and our parents are nearby and we can't even see them. But just, I think my feeling of, you know, life is also about community and friendships. And I didn't think that I was going to get married. And so all of a sudden I was like, wait, what is this life that we're doing? And then it's also, you know, I think we've actually started to, well, I can't speak for you, Raj, but, you know, we've been cooking and eating at home more than we ever have in the almost five years we've been married. So, I think also just having to communicate in the way that you do maybe with a roommate also, like, yeah, this is time when I'm going to be doing this, or I'm going on a walk by myself, although I tend not to do that. I like to go on walks with Raj. So I don't know, but it was just sort of, it was this, yeah, this kind of enforced pairing that was odd to me, honestly, as someone who had been single for a long time.
Sure. And Raj, you know, we've talked to people who are living together and had been dating for like 2 weeks, and then the pandemic hit, and it's like, well, I guess we're going to see if this works. That's like the ultimate way to figure out if it's going to work. But when you look at, you know, long term now, we could be living like this for a number of months now. I mean, I think there's a lot that we're going to have to figure out how to kind of quote unquote reopen, and I think it's going to be slow, or there might be starts and stops. Do you feel, Raj, now like you're in a spot where, you know, if this goes throughout the summer, if this goes into the fall, we can handle it?
I think Sage and I have done a good job sort of coming to some compromises. And I think routine has been particularly helpful these last, you know, week and a half, because it builds consistency. So I know, like, if I need to just have some alone time for myself, I'm okay going for a walk on my own. You know what I mean? And just, you know, coming back, you know, 20, 40 minutes later. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we can build on, you know, from this experience. And like Sejal said, even cooking, you know, we weren't the greatest cooks at all. And now having, you know, to spend a lot of the time in the kitchen, we're figuring out, okay, who's better at doing what. And that obviously will save us some money in the future. But I think the way we're going to live our life going forward, I think, is definitely going to change as a result of this. And I think we, and I can speak for myself, and hopefully Sage agrees, like, I've come to appreciate these smaller nuances about her personality and who she is, because the parts of her that I missed through the bulk of the day with me being at school. But now being home, I can, like you had asked the question earlier, you know, does she have a greater appreciation for, you know, what I do as a teacher? And I can say the exact same thing for her. You know, I totally appreciate her as a writer, because I see how much work goes into that, where I wasn't seeing that because I was not at home, you know? So I think this strengthens our relationship. I think it strengthens our bond. And I think there's some good that will come from this.
I don't know. What did you think she was doing all day, man?
Well, not
I don't know if
cooking.
We want to go there.
I'm mostly kidding. And if you want to get walks in, I would suggest between 1 and 4:30 are great times. You know, you've got
a big
block of time.
Exactly.
Right.
Evan, I wanted to
just say one thing that we appreciated. We both had, like, Zoom hangouts with friends, and it was just nice getting to see Raj with his college friends talking, and I have a standing Sunday night with mine, and that's nice too. At least I've appreciated it, because often, you know, we'll end up doing things on our own, mm-hmm. with friends, so we don't, you know, I don't get to see him with those friends, because they're not local.
Sure.
For the most part. So
yeah, and we're hearing a lot.
Kind of nice.
I think that's smart, and we're hearing a lot of that. You know, people kind of catching up. But speaking of catching up, let me read from Brittany, who says, "How come every ex I've ever been with is hitting me up now during this?" So that's from Brittany. So Dennis O'Brien, does that ring true or false with Brittany's email? Every ex I've ever been with is hitting me up now.
I have only spoken to exes who I am still actually friends with, so I'm not getting any random, nor am I sending anything random to exes either.
Okay, I want to believe that. I want to believe that. What do you think that's about, by the way, Dennis? What do you think's going on with Brittany's exes?
I think you just don't want to bet against the backslide. I think guys are probably always looking to get back with something familiar or do, you know, unfortunately, that's what guys do.
And it's maybe, you know, it can be a lonelier time. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe Nicole Ron, any exes hitting you up?
Oh, yeah. And I've hit some up as well, honestly. But, like, it's the same thing. It's just like a familiarity. And because I live far away from most people that I know. You know, I'm really new to Tennessee. So it's nice to kind of, and in this way that I can't really see anyone anyways, it feels like there's no distance between me and anyone, you know, so it kind of feels like anyone's fair game to text at this point.
Gotcha. Well, Adam says nothing like a man who can cook, so this is a time to sharpen those skills. Dennis O'Brien, how do you do in the kitchen?
I am actually pretty good in the kitchen. I've been living alone for a long time, which helps. And luckily my mom was a good cook and I watched her a lot growing up. So I'm all right there.
Are you sort of doing anything different during quarantine or not?
Yeah, I'm working a lot from home, which is very unusual. So spending a lot more time at home, and that actually does help. I walk to and from work. So without that commute built in, I'm using that time to do more meal prep and mise en place and all that kind of stuff to try to do better cooking instead of last-minute cooking, which I do a lot with late-night meetings.
There you go. Nicole Ron, I've seen your Twitter feed. It's like peanut butter jars and cereal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my skills have not improved much. a lot of hot dogs still. But every once in a while, I will get a little bit creative, and I've been proud of a few meals I've gotten. I do enjoy the fact that I am cooking more. It's actually pretty fun.
Well, before we lose the hour here, Sejal and Raj mentioned that, you know, Sejal, as a writer, you got a book coming out, and I wonder if this whole scenario has added or changed, you know, sort of your daily work life or what to expect there. Has anything changed with the book plan?
No, oh, that's a good question. Yeah, the University of Georgia Press is still sticking with the pub date of June 1st. So I know some publishers have moved dates, but my book is still going to be coming out then, and been talking to writers and books about a virtual launch. But the book, the final essay is about our wedding, which was 5 years ago, and I've definitely been thinking about, you know, how do we celebrate things? How do we mark things that are important, like graduations and weddings and a book coming out when we aren't gathering in person? So it's been a lot of food for thought, for sure.
When's the release time for the book?
It's June 1st.
June 1st. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have told you a few months ago that you'd be smack in the middle of a pandemic, just amazing, isn't it? You know,
I couldn't have imagined it, but I wrote about when the 6 months before we got married, I was living with my parents, my grandmother, and my aunt's cancer had come back, and we were planning a wedding, and she was living with us, and it was so hard. Our reality was so different from anybody that I knew, and this has felt a little bit easier because we're all going through this new world together, and I think this kind of collective, there's some grief and trauma, and just it's a different world, and how do we adjust to it? So it's at least we have we're going through it separately together.
Sure.
Separately.
Andrew on Twitter says the biggest change is that now I have something to blame my lack of a dating life on. Seriously though, many of the dating apps are encouraging virtual first dates, which I've been a little too creeped out to try. Well, it sounds like Nicole is open for that. Dennis right now, no to the virtual dates still, Dennis, right?
Well, maybe someone will change my mind.
Okay. Good luck, Andrew. And on a serious note, I just want to say this before the program's over here. You know, we know this can get very personal, and it's hard for people to talk about and share, but we also know that this can be hard. If you're in a relationship, we're not even talking about abuse. I mean, that's a different category, and we had a conversation on this program about that, and that's a very, very serious category of challenge now for a lot of people, but even just in relationships that are struggling, this is a really, really hard time for that, you know, and, you know, we kind of joked and we said, you're going to find out if it works, but if it doesn't work, boy, that is really, really hard. And so we feel for you and you know, just know in whatever strange way, that it matters, that there's still love in the world, and that I know it can be very difficult for people kind of managing and trying to make it work or figuring out how to make it work when it doesn't feel like it's going to. So I want to thank our guests for taking the time and opening up you know, Sejal, I'm glad you reached out and good luck with the book, because the pandemic won't last forever, but the book will be there. So, you know,
yeah, thank God for books, right?
Where do you want people
thank
to find?
Thank you so much, Evan.
Yeah. Where do you want people to find your work, Sejal?
You can order, at bookshop.org, I think it is, and also Writers and Books, I think is delivering, and Sulphur Books. Those are all great places to, it's available for pre-order, and you can find some of my work online also through my website, sejalshaw.com.
Enjoy your nap today. Raj Singaravelu, local teacher. Raj, again, thanks on behalf of all the parents for the work that you and fellow teachers are doing, and thanks for sharing your story this hour.
Thank you, Evan, for having us on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Dennis O'Brien, one of the smartest people in Rochester. We appreciate the time, as always. And there will be future Bachelor auctions when the world has changed again. Dennis, thanks for making the time for the program.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Nicole Ron, good luck in Tennessee. Thanks for telling us your story as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great having all of you guys. All right, short break. More connections coming up.